Today's date is November the 19th, 2023. The message today is forgiveness of sin. Holy Scripture, John the 3rd chapter, 1 through 4. Ephesians the 1st chapter, 6 through 7, Ephesians the 2nd chapter, 4 through 10, Matthew the 28th chapter, 19 through the 21st. Given, Proverbs the 3rd chapter, 9 through 10. Testimony, Revelation the 12th chapter and 11th verse. Holy Scripture, once again, is John, the 3rd chapter, and the 23rd verse. So I want to be talking and expounding on the word of the Lord just briefly here on behalf of forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin is a part of the life that was produced for the body of Jesus Christ by Jesus Christ. I also want to expound on the word holiness. Holiness. Holiness, that word is a noun. When I say holiness, that means that I am working with the ministry of the gospel, which is contained, which the word holiness is contained in the gospel. When I say holiness, I am speaking on the authority that was given to Jesus Christ to produce all four books of the gospel. And the 23 books of the apostolic works. So I also want to expound on some holy words. So I want to talk here briefly on behalf of forgiveness of sin. So we as a people of Christ, we have been forgiven for our sins when we were chosen by Jesus Christ as a people to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. So I want to start here with John, the 3rd chapter, and the 1st through about the 4th and 5th verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So, the status rabbi here, R-A-B-B-I, is defined as teacher. Third verse, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? That is giving us a definition that Jesus Christ is introducing and having an interview with Nicodemus on behalf of the work that he's doing. So when Jesus Christ explains to Nicodemus the Pharisee, when he explained this, when he explained about the work that he's doing, he's speaking on behalf of a repentance process. So when we are born of his word, so Nicodemus is still in a misunderstanding here, because Nicodemus don't understand that when we repent according to the leading and guiding of the one that is in lead to guide us through that step, then we can go through that step and on behalf of repenting, and when we do, we can be changed. We can be changed when we go through that step, because those are words. Our words have power. However, the way Jesus Christ is introducing Nicodemus to the new birth, Nicodemus is not understanding that Jesus Christ is talking about is speaking on behalf of a repentance process. I want to go over the first through the third verse once again. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So he is a ruler of the Jews. He is in lead. He is a person of authority with the church. He was the ruler. He was the leader. Ruler mean master. Second verse, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, but no man can do these miracles except God be with him. So Nicodemus was established in his confidence by the miracles that Jesus Christ was working. However, Jesus Christ is giving Nicodemus the exact process for a new life, meaning that he was explaining to Nicodemus on behalf of a repentant process, a repenting process. Third verse, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus is here still explaining to Nicodemus that he must go through this process in order to see God. He's still talking about repentance, but he didn't use the word repentance. He didn't use that word. He's using a word called new birth, the new birthing. The fourth verse, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus is showing his sincerity on behalf of the prophecy that Jesus Christ is here explaining to him. So, fifth verse, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So, Nicodemus is still not grasping or understanding what Jesus is prophesying here. Jesus Christ is prophesying to Nicodemus, and he can't grasp that level of the faith. Why? Because Nicodemus is not chosen to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. So that's why he does not understand what Jesus Christ is talking about here. Sixth verse, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So, in order for Nicodemus to understand this prophecy, Nicodemus needs to have some knowledge of prophecy, but he can't hear this particular prophecy because he was not called to be a part of the kingdom of Christ. So I want to go moving forward here. I want to go over to Matthew, the 28th chapter, and 19 through the 20th verse. Matthew, the 28th chapter, and the 19th through the 20th verse. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So Jesus Christ is here installing some of his students here. He have completed the work. He completed the work as far as what the students, which is the disciples, everything that they needed to know. So he completed all that work. And so now he is giving them an installation. He's given them how they should work, and the results of their work. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So Jesus Christ is sending out all of the disciples. I want to run up here a little bit further. 18 verse. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So he's explaining to his disciples that he is in power. Where? In heaven. He is in power with our Heavenly Father. So all power was given unto him by our Heavenly Father. And after that, he is giving them their duties and what works that they must do as they go forward. Go ye therefore, this is the 19th verse, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Baptism is the second process. The first process that we go through with when we are make an entry into the kingdom of Christ is repentance. That's why Jesus was explaining out of the third chapter of John and the first through the sixth verse on behalf of the new birth. He's talking about repentance. So here in the 28th chapter of Matthew and the 19th verse, he is installing and he is releasing his disciples or students, because the word disciples is defined as students. So he have demonstrated the work. He have trained all of the workers. And so now he's releasing them into the fields so that they can go out and do the work. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. So baptism is the water process. So the water process must be in place so that our salvation will be sealed unto eternity. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name. So when we go in a name, we are going in authority of that person, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's the three, that is the Trinity. The Trinity is established so that we will have power when we move forward and when we go through the processes of salvation. 20th verse, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So now we understand that when we are installed into the ministry by way of an ordination, then we receive work and we receive commands. We receive commands. So Jesus is here. He is giving his students a complete work. They have completed the work. He have taught them completely. So now they are perfected enough to go out into the fields and to teach the people, the body of Jesus Christ, to observe all things whatsoever Christ himself have commanded the apostles. These are the apostles. And then he reassured the apostles here that he's reassuring the apostles that he is with them. He says here in the 20th verse, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Then he says, amen. The word amen is defined as truly, truly. So I'm going to run over here, and I'm going to the first chapter of Ephesians. First chapter of Ephesians, 6th through the 7th verse. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. So Jesus Christ is the person who have caused us to be accepted in the beloved. In the beloved, beloved. 6th verse, I'm going to read this once again. To the praise of the glory of his grace. The word grace here is a holy word. The word grace is a noun. This word is defined as approval. The next word is favor. And the next word is privilege. The next word is pardon. Pardon, meaning that we are forgiven, to allow an offense to pass without punishment. So this is what Jesus did. That was the work that Jesus Christ produced out in the process of the resurrection process. The word quicken, I'm going to start over these holy words. The word quicken is a verb. The word quicken is defined as to make alive or revive. That's a person that at one time was dead in sin. But when we were quickened, we were made alive or revived back to life. The word redemption is a noun. That word is defined as freedom from the guilt or blame for having done something evil. So who set us free? Jesus Christ is the one who gave his life as a ransom for the body of Jesus Christ. Ransom. This word is paying. This word is defined as paying the ransom price of someone that has been lost, thereby purchasing it back by his blood. So let's talk about the resurrection. The word, this next word, the next word is, that I want to talk about is reconciliation. That word is a noun. And it is defined as in acceptance. So we have been reconciled by whom? By Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So here, I'm running on here. So here, it features the first chapter and 6-7 verse. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. That statement gives us a knowledge of reconciliation. Reconciliation. We have been reconciled, meaning that we have been accepted. 7th verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood. When the scripture here, when the writer is here prophesying and speaking to us, the writer here is giving us a knowledge how we are redeemed. 7th verse. I want to read over this once again. In whom we have redemption through his blood. That's speaking on behalf of his resurrection, meaning that he went out on the cross and he did deceased, and now he's been risen again, and now we have been redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, according to the riches of his grace. So now we see that Christ, our Lord, is rich. He have grace there in more than one level. He have his grace there in levels that is defined as riches. So I'm going to run over here to the second chapter of Ephesians and 4-10. 4-10, the second chapter. I would like to stop over here in the second chapter. This is the first chapter, the second chapter. Okay, it is the second chapter of Ephesians and the 4-10 verse. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. So Jesus Christ loved the body of Jesus Christ. So if he loved us, we should love one another. We should love one another in a manner how that Jesus Christ loved us. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, 5th verse, even when we were dead in sin. So that dead in sin does not mean that we were physically dead, but that just means that our soul was in a place where we were not alive because of our sin. Because of our sin. But Jesus Christ, he loves us. He loved the body in which he laid his life down for. 4th verse, I want to go over this once again. 2nd chapter of Ephesians. And the 4th verse, but God, who is rich in mercy, means he have more than one level of mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. 5th verse, even when we were dead in sin. So the Lord loved us even when we was in sin. That means that we was in a place where we could commit a crime, and it could be evil, but Jesus Christ loved us still. He still loved us, even though we were in sin. Meaning we was in crime, we wasn't doing right, we was not validated by the faith. We were in sin, but however, Jesus Christ, he loves us. So here I want to read the sixth verse. Hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Quicken, the word quicken is defined as he made us alive after that we had went through the process of repentance and we went through the process of the baptism. And the Lord also gave, there is another process there. The first process is repentance. The second process is baptism. The third process is receiving of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Now we know how we are saved. We are saved by grace. By grace, you not say we was approved, and we now have received the privilege of a new life. Hath quickened us together with Christ. In other words, we have been revived unto living, whereas our soul was dead. Now our soul is revived. Our soul is now revived, and he has made us alive. Meaning he has taken us through some processes. He has taken us through some processes, and afterwards that, then we are revived. Hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Sixth verse, and has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and has raised us up, meaning have elevated us. So we are a elevated people when we are developed in his word, and when we go through the process of repentance, we are elevated in a new place, which is heavenly in our soul. And has raised us up. I'm going to read this once again, sixth verse. And has raised us up together and made us sit together because we are kin. We are to be connected because we are family. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, meaning we are developed into his heavenlies. So we are now elevated. We are on the elevator. We are elevated in where? In a place called heaven. Seventh verse. In the ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Eighth verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Tenth verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we have great privilege here. We have this privilege because we were called, we are established, those of us whom the Lord have developed us for his new birth. We have a place of elevation in heavenly places. In heaven, where? In the spirit of Jesus Christ. So I want to run over here to John, the 3rd chapter and the 23rd verse. John, the 3rd chapter in the 23rd verse. And John also was baptizing. And John also was baptizing in Anon, near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. So here John, he's going through the second, this is the second part of salvation. This is the water process. And John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. Who came? The believers. 24 verse, but John was not yet cast into prison. He wasn't in prison at the time. He was free. So John here, he have some students. He is leading some students on behalf of the water process. Then there arose a question between some of John's. I didn't intend to go through these scriptures, but I'm going to go through these scriptures. The 21st verse, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples, which is defined as students, and the Jews about purifying. So they didn't understand what was going on here. So they was in question. So, I'm getting ready to close here. So, I want to expound on the word of the Lord on behalf of Gibby. I want to expound on the word of the Lord on behalf of giving. It's Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. 9th through the 10th verse. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and the 9th through the 10th verse. Getting ready to close here. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So here I'm working here with the book of Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom, which Solomon is the writer here. Solomon is the person that wrote and that established this wisdom. So the writer here is giving us understanding how to give. I also would like to explain on behalf of another level of giving. Whereas an individual might decide that they want to give in a ministry on behalf of a policy, whereas they're giving it to this ministry, and where they're giving it to this ministry and they are going at the end of the year for taxes, and if they give funds into the ministry, they're giving this particular fund, whereas they're giving it to help the needy. And so they're giving it, and they're going at the end of the year, and they're picking up a refund. That is not the process for a blessing. That there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's absolutely nothing wrong with giving in a ministry to help those who need to be processed out of a trouble place. But if you're giving it into a ministry and at the end of the year, you're going to get a pink slip from whatever ministry you're part of. If you're getting that pink slip to go back at the end of the year, then that is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But that is not the process for a blessing. That's just a non-profit process. That means that pastor is not profiting from that refund. That pastor is using a non-profit organization to apostle is using that process to help someone to develop out of a place called a need. Sometimes it can be food. Some ministries have food ministries, but it's a non-profit. So if they're giving you a pink slip or some type of a proof that you gave to assist in that non-profit, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But that's not the process for a blessing. That's just a process whereas that you can get your resources back at the end or at the beginning of tax seasons. And it's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So many would like to know, is it possible that the Lord can bless you with a non-profit? Yes, he can. But when one put up a non-profit organization, that is for the needy and someone that needs some help right away. So, here I want to start reading here at the 9th verse. Honor the Lord with thy substance, thy substance. So when we're honoring the Lord with our substance, that means that we are honoring the Lord with our whatever we produce for our substance. Honor, Lord, with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now the writer gives us what part to honor the Lord with, the first fruits. So many would honor the Lord with whatever part of whichever part is considered as the first fruits. So the first fruits can be a dollar. The first fruits can be 10 or 20 or even maybe $100. It depends on your budget. So we must look at our budget when we are giving. So it depends on what's in the budget. So if we have a desire to follow that particular holy prophetic word, then we are expected to honor the Lord with what? The first part of our increase. So if I work 5 days a week, say if I start working on a Monday, if I start working on a Monday and I'm going to work the whole week before I accomplish my paycheck time. If I work 5 days on that Friday, if that's my paycheck time, then I'm expecting to do what? To receive substance. And so if I want to give according to this prophetic word, then I will give what? The first part of my increase. 10th verse. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. So shall thy barns, this place, barns, is a place in the heavenlies. So shall thy barns, B-A-R-N-S, be filled with plenty. So now the writer gives us what to expect after that we honor the Lord with the first part of our substance and with the first fruits of all of our increase. So now the writer gives us another direction. So shall thy barns, the word barns is defined as a place where you keep animals and where you might also keep fruits and whatever you've grown, whatever increase you have produced for that place, be filled with plenty. So, and thy presence shall burst out with new wine. So these places here, these places are elevated places, meaning that we should receive and grow in such a manner, we should grow in such a manner whereas we have plenty, meaning we don't have any lack anywhere. We have all that we need over and above. We have the overflow for growth. Our spirit should be growing in such a way that we have more than enough. We have the overflow for every part of our spirit and in every place where we need that growth. 10th verse, I'm going to read this once again. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So these places, the presses is speaking on behalf of a machinery, whereas our substance have been in a press. Our substance has been in the presses and burst out with new wine. That means that we should grow and grow and grow in a way where when we are completed, that we have more than enough. We have plenty. Okay, so I'm getting ready to go over here to testimony. So I would like to testify on behalf of how Jesus Christ protected my life in a situation, in a city, whereas there was an attack against Christ first and then my soul. Where? Over in Los Angeles. There was an attack there and the Lord delivered me. out of that those attacks lasted for about 7 years, and the Lord delivered me out of every attack of the devil. And he gave me his security measures and protected me completely. Those attacks did flow from Los Angeles to Atlanta, Georgia. However, the Lord did protect me throughout all of those attacks completely. So here, I'm getting ready to close. I am getting ready to close here. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I will be hosting the Virtuous Men and Women International Ministries Bible Teacher Seminar 2023 in the Atlanta, Georgia area. All are welcome, including those who are visiting the city to join us for this great upcoming event. Go to the website at www.morningstargmnetwork.com and click on the itinerary for complete information for the schedule. And you may click on the option to purchase your ticket or tickets. We are asking all faith partners and all who believe in the gospel to assist us and give a donation that we may elevate the spread of the word of God around the globe to the highest form on the public media platform. And expect the Lord Jesus Christ to increase and grow your resources and substance according to your faith in his word. That's Luke, the 6th chapter and the 38th verse. Let's run over to that scripture. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measures pressed down and shaken together and running over shall be and give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met, with all it shall be measured to you again. So when you reach the website, go to the bottom of the page and click on the pay button and give what you can afford. And remember to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And love yourself the same way. And love your neighbor.